Just very briefly, we studied the first Beatitude, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that is simply speaking of those who realize their spiritual poverty. They know they're nothing and have nothing to present to the Lord. And therefore they run to Christ for what is necessary for their salvation and to have a right standing before God. You know, the Bible tells us, prepare to meet thy God. And surely God's word teaches us that there's nothing we can do to prepare other than to depend upon the work that Christ has already done. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're citizens of heaven. They're children of God. All the blessings of heaven are theirs. And then last week we considered the second one, which is verse number 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we did remember that while the Lord is interested and concerned about those who are mourning the loss of loved ones and mourning difficulties in life, that this particular beatitude, and indeed all of the beatitudes, are speaking about spiritual matters. And it's speaking about mourning over sin, those that are grieved to see sin and its effects in themselves, first of all, in their family and friends that are unsaved, and then, of course, in this old wicked world. And, of course, when someone mourns over sin, it's not just a sorryness for sin. It's a fleeing to Christ to be pardoned from that sin. A claiming the power of God to be delivered from the bondage and temptation of that sin. And as I said, when we mourn for the sins of our nation and our country, just like Daniel did there in Daniel chapter 10, then the Lord will do one of two things. The Lord will either change the land that we live in through his truth, or the Lord will equip us to live in a godly manner in the wicked land and in the evil days. Now we come to the third beatitude. It's in verse number 5. And it is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want us to look at this under three very simple headings. First of all, the meaning of the word meek. The meaning of the word meek. Now, this word, in its original, it means mild. It means mild. Blessed are the mild. By implication, the word means humble. And it's actually from a root word which means gentle. And we can bring those three thoughts together. And it describes what meekness is. It's someone who is humble, someone who is gentle, and someone who is mild. Now, the word meek does appear in Scripture several times, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the word, the Greek word that is translated meek here in verse number 5, is only used three times in Scripture. Here in Matthew 5, verse 5, it is describing the character of the blessed spiritual man. Over in Matthew 21, verse 5, it describes the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you just turn there, Matthew chapter 21, verse 5. In fact, the Lord used it to describe himself using an Old Testament prophecy when they were in Jerusalem, going to prepare for the Last Supper. And it says there in verse number 2, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. So what we find, first of all, in Matthew 5, verse 5, is to be a characteristic of the spiritual man. In Matthew 21, verse 5, it is a characteristic of Christ. And therefore, what is being asked of this person, this Christian, this blessed man, that he shows meekness within his life, because indeed it is, in fact, Christ-likeness. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ here is described as a king, and yet he is also described as meek. True greatness is not arrogance. The Lord's majesty went hand in hand with his meekness. And then the other time this verse is used, or this word is used, is in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 4. And it's speaking to wives, actually, here in this particular verse. And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll go to verse number 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing gold or a putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, this verse is teaching us here in 1 Peter chapter 3 about the spirit and the attitude and the character that the woman should possess and hold such a character as more valuable than the clothes she wears. That's what it's teaching here. It is speaking of the spiritual being more important than the physical. That the heart is to be clothed aright. And that the spirit is to be right before God and before man. And this is more important than the hair, the jewelry, and the clothes. And that's what it says in verse 3. Don't be so focused on your hair, your jewelry, and your clothes. But rather consider the heart and have it adorned with beauty. And the adorning here, it speaks of a meek and a quiet spirit. Now, we need to see what God's word is teaching here. What does this quiet spirit mean? Well, the quiet spirit means to keep one's seat. That's what it means in the original, to keep one's seat. In other words, being in the place you're supposed to be. Being where you ought to be for your family, in your workplace, in your church life. And therefore, what is being taught here is that the Lord desires of the wives of the church and of the ladies of the congregation that they would have a meek, a Christ-like spirit and a quiet spirit. They would be in the place God has called them to be. And what is that in the sight of God? It says it's in the sight of God of great price. It means it's very precious. And often in this world, the world looks at things and material things and counts them as precious or valuable, depending on how they view them. But this verse and this passage is literally saying the Lord looks on the heart. And when the Lord sees in the heart of a lady or a man for that matter, when the Lord sees in the heart of one of his children the right attitude, the spirit of meekness, and the fact that they're in the place God has called them to be, fulfilling the roles God has called them to fulfill, that is very precious in his sight. Why? Because he died to save you. And a harsh spirit or a proud attitude will hinder the believer. It will mar their Christ-likeness and cause many problems for them if it goes unchecked. But you see someone who's walking meekly before the Lord and is in the place God has called him to be, that's precious in the sight of God. And I would rather have the blessing and the smile of God upon me than the approval of the world and walk contrary to the word of God. Now, meekness is not weakness. It's not passivity. It's not turning a blind eye to sin because you're a meek person. But it's humility, gentleness and patience in doing good and waiting upon the Lord for his blessing and for his visitation. Now, if you turn to Psalm 37 that we read this morning, you'll find that there are some characteristics of meekness. In this psalm, we have the evildoers and we have the upright. And you see there in verse number 11, it says, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Now, whenever you read down this psalm, you'll find that the problem with the psalmist is that he was looking on the land and he was looking at the people who were not saved. He was looking at the people who were against God and they seemed to be prospering. So through the influence of the Spirit of God, David writes down these thoughts and these words as the Lord gives them to him. And he says, even though the wicked prosper, keep trusting God. Even though the evildoer seems to be getting the upper hand, keep going on and to go through with God. The meek are those that wait on the Lord, even in times when life seems unfair, and even at times when life seems hard, confusing, or infuriating. Wait upon the Lord. Verse number 9. Evildoers shall be cut off, but they that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And you know, sometimes in life when we see the ungodly prospering and the wicked and the godly suffering because of the evil and the wicked that's prospering around us, there are times that we can feel angry. And it says there in verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any ways to do evil. There is wickedness in this world. There's wickedness in this land. There's wickedness all around us. There's sin all around us. And if your attitude is to get angry and to give back as good as you got and to try and hurt people and to try through sinning to try and hurt those who are sinning, then that is ungodly. And that's why the Bible says, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any ways to do evil. Why? Because whenever we get angry and riled up about things in life, there's only one winner in such a scenario, and that's the devil. Because we lose out on the rest, the peace, the joy, and the blessing of leaning upon the everlasting arms of the providential God. And the Lord loses out on the praise that he is worthy of and he is due because we use our energy to be angry at something God knows all about and will deal with in his own time anyway. Folks, we need to be careful that our character and our attitude isn't marked and marred by an angry spirit. The Bible says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And you know, I believe that there are people, and such is their makeup, such is their character, that they go out each morning to be annoyed or to be offended, to be angry at something or someone. And they make a point of finding something every day that they can be cross and angry about and complain about. What a waste of a life. What a waste of God-given talents and abilities. Friend, we will have enough hurt and trials in our lives without going out searching for it. We'll have enough hurt and trials in our lives to deal with without creating it. And if you have a problem with anger, then you tell the Lord about it. Confess you have no control over that emotion. And ask the Lord to step in and change that attitude in your life for his, for your good and for his glory. Now, I know the Bible does speak of righteous anger, and the Lord Jesus Christ was angry when the place that was marked to be marked by prayer, the house of prayer, was being used for anything but. Friend, this attitude here is just having an angry spirit because things aren't going the way you think they ought to be going. Now, to summarize this point, what does it mean to be meek? Well, very simply, the meek person will not say, life has to be done my way. The meek person will say, life has to be done God's way. And in every decision that we come to, in every situation we come across in life, we do not say, my way is the right way. We say, the Lord's way. And a meek person, in reality, is someone who is surrendered to God. Someone who is humbly trusting in the Lord and going God's way, even when they don't understand. Even when it's not the way that they had originally planned themselves, they still submit themselves to God's will and to God's way because they remember and know and believe that God's ways are higher than our ways, God knows better, and we only prosper when we go God's ways. There's a Jewish saying, and it is, wisdom, fear, and meekness are for those of high esteem, but meekness is greater than them all. And you see, you can have wisdom, and you can have a fear or respect, but meekness is something that is greater than all of those things. What does it mean? It means we find refuge in the Lord and continually commit our way unto Him. Meekness means that we are not resentful and we do not bear grudges. Meekness means we die to self-righteousness. Meekness means we claim no merit before God. All we have and are and desire is through Christ. Meekness means we leave everything in the hands of God, who loves us and cares for us. Meekness means that we go graciously and tenderly to those who err in the faith, and we put our hand upon their shoulder and we say, we love you in the Lord and we're concerned about you, but this is wrong. That's meekness. Not turning your back on someone, not cutting them out, nothing like that. Meekness is a willingness to suffer rather than to inflict injury upon another. And you know, some people are hurt and their automatic reaction is this: well, I'm going to hurt them back twice as hard as they have hurt me. Friend, that's not Christ-likeness. That's not meekness. That's a carnal, wicked, sinful attitude. And if that's your attitude, then you need to get on your knees and confess your sin before God, because you're missing out on a great blessing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12, just listen as I read these words. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels or hearts of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And that's a summary, a biblical summary of what meekness is. But then secondly, we want to look at the biblical examples of meekness. If you turn with me to Numbers chapter 12, you'll find the first mention of the word meek in the scripture. And in Numbers chapter number 12, it says in verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Moses was very meek. He was above all the men in his meekness in the earth. Now that doesn't mean he was without sin, and it certainly doesn't mean he didn't feel in the area of meekness. Do you remember? In anger, he struck the rock a second time. And because of that action, because of that disobedience and a lack of meekness, he wasn't allowed to enter in the promised land. He viewed it, but he wasn't allowed to enter in. But one of the things that marked the majority of his ministry and his leadership was meekness. Now, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses on this occasion because he had made a decision and done something that they did not agree with. So they started to attack his character. Sure, Moses isn't the only one that God could use. Has he not spoken to us too? God could use us. Who does he think he is? We're just as good as him. Even though he's living like that, we could be used of God, and he mightn't be anymore. That is basically what is being said there. God cannot use Moses anymore because of what he has done. They spoke against a brother in the Lord. And friend, that's pride. That's pride. And we ought not to speak against others to make ourselves feel better and put down others so that we would have a higher thought of ourselves. And we read, listen, in verse number 9, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And then verse 11, Aaron said to Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned." And verse 13, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." Friend, there is meekness in action, because Miriam was struck down with leprosy because of her sin. And God said, "This is wrong, and I am angry with you." But thankfully, Aaron had the maturity to come and say, "I have sinned. We have done something wrong. Oh, please forgive us." But I'll tell you more than that. Moses had the meekness and the humility and the graciousness and the gentleness and the kindness to pray to God for the one who had spoken against him. That's meekness. That's not weakness. That's meekness. He wasn't retaliating. No, he continued to trust the Lord. The Lord stepped in, and then he prayed in the very same moment as forgiveness was asked for the people who had offended him. This is what the Bible says about meekness. Psalm number 22, and just three verses here in the Psalms, it teaches a little bit about meekness. What is biblical meekness? Psalm number 22 and verse number 26. Well, it says, "The meek shall eat and shall be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever." And friend, it seems to be in this world we have to live in a certain way, and it's dog eat dog and step on whoever you need to get to where you want to go. That's not scriptural. It's not Christian. It's not biblical. It's not Christ-honoring. It's sinful. Friend, if you have a humble spirit before God, here's what the Word of God says. You shall be satisfied. And there are Christians today, and they're not satisfied. Oh, they're satisfied in their salvation, but they're not satisfied in life. You know why? Because they're that busy looking around them, seeing what other people have. And they have this, and that's not fair. And they get to do this, and that's not fair. And why can't I have that? That's not fair. Look what they did. And that's all they're doing. But friend, I tell you, if you're humble and walk before God and have an inward-looking spirit, search me, O God, instead of going around the country to see everybody else's problems. I tell you, here's what the Bible says. You shall be satisfied. Not only that, Psalm number 25 and verse number 9 says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." And maybe you desire in some form to know God's will and God's way and path and plan for your life, and God has not revealed it to you yet. Could it be you're too proud? You're not ready yet to hear God's will for your life because you're not willing to go wherever he wants you to go, to do whatever he wants you to do. You just want to know, to make a decision, will you do God's will? See, the meek person says, whatever God's will is for his glory and for my good, and I must follow him. And you see, when that's your heart and that's your attitude, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Then the Lord will guide you in judgment, and he will teach sinners in the way. Or the meek, he will teach, in his way. And then Psalm 147. And there in Psalm 147, and verse number 6, there's a lovely wee verse, and it says, "The Lord lifteth up the meek, and he casteth the wicked down to the ground." The Lord lifteth up the meek. Now, the word "lifteth up" there's three thoughts. First of all, it means to give witness. To give witness. And you know, that's exactly what the Lord does for us, our mediator, our intercessor, the one who pleads for us. He stands before his Father and he gives witness for us, and he witnesses that we are his people. Not only that, the word can mean to encompass, and the Lord encompasses round about and protects us from much harm, much of which we don't see, but we will know someday. But the Lord protects us. It also means to restore. Because sometimes we do fail and sometimes we do fall, but the Lord lifts us up, he restores us again. Because the meek go to the Lord confessing their failure. and seeking that the Lord's power would keep them strong in this evil day. So the biblical examples of meekness, we have Moses, we have the teaching and the Psalms, but we also have the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 10 and 1 it says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." And here Paul is writing on the influence of the Spirit of God and talks about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. And as I thought about that, we could take so many different aspects of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, but here's the thing. The Lord Jesus Christ was, and the Lord Jesus Christ still is today, he's approachable. He's approachable. The sinners and the publicans and the harlots, they came gladly to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. There wasn't an arrogance about him. Do you know something? There are some Christians today, and they're very arrogant. They're very proud. And maybe the sinner would feel they couldn't approach you to speak about the things of God. But friend, there was a meekness in Christ that made him approachable. He was willing to forgive. Are we? He was faithful in duty. Are we? He was humble. Are we? He humbled himself. Laid aside his majesty and his honor to save us. You know, I think of those words in James chapter 3 and verse number 3, and it says, verse 13, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." And listen to this. "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? And you know, many people would think, oh, well, a wise man, that's a man who knows it all. That's a man who's deep doctrinally. That's a man who could tell you the original of the Greek and the Hebrew, and oh, that's a man that understands the ins and outs of all those arguments of the spiritual debates over the years. Here's what the Word of God says. The wise man and the man endued with knowledge is a man who has grasped this Word. And he doesn't boast himself, say, well, I know this and I read this and I studied this. No. He shows out of a good conversation or a good life, a good walk, his works with meekness of wisdom. The wise man, the man of great knowledge, it means absolutely nothing if that is not mingled with meekness. And he walks humbly before his people. You know, there are a lot of Christians today. And sometimes they get a grasp of this doctrine, or they understand a wee bit of this verse, or the Lord shows them something, and boy, the pride goes into their heart. He wouldn't know that. He wouldn't understand that. And I'm going to see what he thinks about this, knowing fine well the person mightn't know anything about it at all, but I know about it. And I tell you, a little knowledge can be very dangerous if it's not mingled with meekness. And I said it before in this congregation, you can be able to quote scripture after scripture and catechism after catechism and doctrine after doctrine and walk down those steps on a windy day like today and some poor person struggling to stand up and you nearly knock them over, you wouldn't even think to put your hand out and help them down the steps of God's house. Friend, your doctrine, your wisdom means nothing if it's not put into a practical Christianity, a love and a meekness. And here's the thing. If people are afraid to approach you because of the response you might have, because of your character that you've lived up to this moment, then, friend, you are not living the way the Lord wants you to live. It says here, if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't you claim to be what God wants you to be with envying and strife in your heart. Don't you claim to be what God wants you to be with arrogance and anger in your heart. It's not of God, it's self. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You see, we are called to be like Jesus. The final thought, very briefly, is this. We've thought about the meaning of the word meek. We've thought about some biblical examples. What is a blessing for the meek? We'll turn back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 5. They shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. To inherit means to be an heir, to receive the covenant promise, the promised covenant inheritance, to receive the promised covenant inheritance. Now, this statement does not mean that they were necessarily going to possess great lands or countries. But the Jewish people viewed the land of Canaan as a type of heaven and as a type of the blessings of the Messiah. And therefore, in biblical times, speaking of the earth or the land, it would be known to the followers there, especially in that Jewish community, that the Lord was speaking about the spiritual blessings that God provides. He means that the meek shall be received into his kingdom, partakers of the blessings here, and then of the glories of the heavenly Canaan hereafter. In a sense, we inherit the earth now. God gives us what we need spiritually and physically as the people of God. God makes us a blessing through our meekness to others, and others' meekness is a blessing to us. But here's the thought. The believer may only possess a small portion of this earth or a small portion of earthly goods, but listen, and this is the thing that we must remember. A small portion with God's blessing is more than the greatest riches without it. A small portion of goods or land or money with God's blessing is greater than many riches without it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Friend, money can't buy that. But then there is a future blessing that lies ahead. The new heaven and the new earth will be coming. John said, I saw them. There is no more sickness or sadness or tears or sorrow or sin. And friend, we will inherit it. Not only that, we're made joint heirs with the Savior, and we shall reign with him. To conclude today, what does it mean to be meek? What does it mean to be meek? Well, I'm going to quote one Bible commentator in my closing. It is seen in common life that a meek, patient, mild man is the most prospered. An impatient and quarrelsome man raises up enemies, often loses property in lawsuits, spends his time in disputes and broils rather than in sober, honest industry, and is harassed, vexed, and unsuccessful in all that he does. And that's why Paul writes to Timothy, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Your meekness, your attitude, your humility, your gentleness, it will affect how you hear and receive the word of God. It will affect how you deal with injuries and hurts. It will affect how you think of others. It will affect how you think of yourself. It will give you a willingness to be instructed and admonished. And it will cause you to quietly submit to the will of God, even in difficult providences. God can take a heart that's meek and use it mightily for his glory. But the word of God says he resisteth the proud. A friend, when we humble ourselves before God, he will bless us. He will bless us. We never miss out when we go God's way. God is in control, and God has promised, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. We're going to seek the face of God. I trust and pray that the Lord has been speaking this morning. And if you'd like to speak to me about anything that's been said, well then, we'd love to open God's word afresh with you. Friend, if you're not saved, you need to humble yourself before God. Confess your sin and trust in him for salvation. Because, friend, the only inheritance that's before you, if you're not saved, is hell for all eternity. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for this study of thy precious word. Lord, we pray you'll make us a meek people. All take away pride, we pray. Whatever abilities, Lord, you've given to each one of us, and you have given something to everyone, help us not, Lord, to destroy it or waste it in pride or foolishness or sin. But help us to surrender unto thee and keep humble at the cross. Lord, we need thee. We confess that today. And I pray today, Lord, you will come. Bless us. Keep us faithful. For we ask it in Jesus' name, for his glory alone.